Hi everyone, and welcome to First Rank Fire. This is a podcast that gives me the chance to chat with some of the coolest people from around the 40k community. I'm your host Ben, and in today's episode we're going to be chatting with someone or some people who I'm pretty sure is the same person with a split personality. Don't go on their YouTube, it will prove me wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. I've recently been binging some of their videos, and for such a relatively new channel, I'd say, it's probably got an incredible production value, and whichever Kieran wants to take that credit can take it.
It certainly won't be me.
And yeah, you guys are so funny. Welcome to the show, to the two Kierans.
Thanks very much for having us.
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, thanks for having us.
No, it's my pleasure.
Really good.
Of course, we've been on someone else's show. Like, usually it's me running around trying to wait for you to, other Kieran.
Yeah,
to
I was going
to
say, right off the back of your question around production value, I will take absolutely zero responsibility for that.
Yeah, well, this time, Kieran, who does editing, you don't have to do any editing. I have to do all the editing this time.
No, it's, after the amount of hours that I spend doing that,
I don't do the videos at the moment, which I might do at some point, but I just do audio, which is much easier than both, that's for sure.
Oh, stay away from video. Who'd want to put themselves on video?
Crazy,
what a mess.
All right, well, I'll crack straight into the questions. So, I'm not going to try and make you feel old, but you've probably got a combined 30 plus years between the two of you in the hobby. So, what got you both into the game?
Editor Kieran, you can go first.
Oh, and I put him on the spot. So my foray into Warhammer started in about 11. And my stepdad at the time, he was into it, and he got the Battle for McCrag box set, which I believe was one of the launch boxes, one of the editions. And we set it up and we played it on our kitchen table at the time. I was like, oh, these little men's are really cool. Where can one get some more of these? And before you know it, my birthday lists were Space Marine Battle Forces, God knows what else. Painted all absolutely terribly. The story I'll tell everyone for that is probably not my funniest one in the hobby as a kid is I just got this 10-man tactical unit of Space Marines for, I think it was for a birthday or something, or I'd done some gardening or some other child labour that I was paid for. I painted them all up every weekend, and then I went to Sutton Coldfield Games Workshop, which was the nearest one to me. They had like a Young Crusaders or whatever it was called. It was like, well, you learned how to play the game and you met other people. And charged them into a unit of 10 Gene Stealers, and they were pulled apart. So then I was like, oh, I could do some of those Tyranids now.
Yeah, you'll be careful.
And then I
said that, I'm sure.
Oh, don't talk to me about Tyranids anymore.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. Yeah, we're going to relive all of that trauma. That's for sure.
Oh, it certainly was.
It's still ongoing. but yeah, after many badly painted Space Marines and Tyranids when I was a kid, I then fell out of it when I was must have been about 14. I took up skateboarding instead, and then had a few years out, and then I came back, and I must have been about 19, I think it was. And then I got the Assault on Black Reach box set from Traeger Mills. So if you've got any Southwest listeners, big up the Mills.
Outstanding.
It is the worst place on earth.
Right.
You could do an episode just on Traeger. And then that was it. Then had Space Marine Army. And then I took about a year or two out shortly after that. And then I came back for... Must have been this... Remember the first launch box for Kill Team? I think it was Admech and Gene Stealer Cults, and it came with that really cool terrain. I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm back in. So I bought that, and the rest is history, as they say. That's what we get up till now.
And they have like 40,000 different armies rather than two or three.
He certainly did.
Oh, I'm fully working with new all armies.
And other Kieran, how did you get into it?
So when I was much, much, much younger, my old stepbrothers actually all played Warhammer, and they were the guys that got me into it. So I think I must have been 7 or 8 years old. So like some of the old guys had, like one of them had like a Blood Angels team, and I thought, oh, this is cool. The other guy had a Chaos Space Marine team, and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I think I remember it as clear as day back when we used to do the Army Mega Forces. I think they were like £75, and it came with like a defiler, and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's some giant mechanized demon spider, and I want it. So, yeah, no, for Christmas that year, I think, yeah, I must have been maybe like, yeah, 7 or 8. My younger brother at the time must have been about 5 or 6. We split the, I can't remember which Warhammer Fantasy box set it was, but it was the Empire and the Orcs and Goblins one, the one with the Orcs and Goblins chariot.
Yeah.
My love of Warhammer started then, and my love of Orcs also started then. So, yeah, it was, I was then collecting Warhammer up until probably secondary school, and then I realised girls probably won't think this is cool. Needless to say, it didn't help with girls or my self-esteem. So, yeah, so I ended up binning that off. And then coming back to it in 2020, so I was 25, 26. I just got engaged. Indomitus had just released, and I was like, oh, wow, that's sick. Warhammer has really come along since 2000, so let's jump back in. And yeah, what a wild ride. So I've been in it for the last 3 years now, and it's just been utterly, utterly mad.
Yeah, that box was the first box that I got in Warhammer, that Orc Empire one, and I took the Orcs. So yeah, look, Orc Fantasy was my big thing, the Orc Chariot and the Boar Boys.
No, yeah,
best models. Honest.
Well, I'm sure we'll probably talk about Old World at one point or another in this evening's conversation, but I think as far as the Old World setting is concerned, if they go as far as releasing some of those classic Orcs and Goblins kits, I might be tempted.
Yeah, that would be a big, big thing for me. Like, I predominantly do 40k. Well, I only really do 40k now. I've got some Sigmar models just because I got oh god, what was the magazine called?
What do you mean?
No, the one with models in.
Which one? The 40k one?
No, the Sigma one. The one that's just been done, the one before it.
Oh, so it was Stormbringer is the most recent one. Conquest? Or was that something else?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, maybe. It's something like that. Yeah.
Conquest was the 40k one.
Whichever one. It was the one with the Stormcast and the... whatever they're called, the Ghosty Boys.
Nighthorn.
Yeah, so I've got some of those. But yeah, Old World hasn't pulled me back in yet because yeah, there's the moment they have Boar Boys, I'm like, yeah, I can do.
Yes,
that's me. I'm leaving 40k behind. I'm just going to be full time Old World, and that's it.
You'll never see this face again. Yeah, I think Fantasy is going to be like a huge nostalgia trip for sure. But I do think it's way too early yet. It's way too early to tell. I think unless you're like a diehard Old World fan, I feel like just don't count your chickens just yet. Just sit on the fence.
Yeah.
Just wait. Because I think my biggest reservation, I think, with Old World is getting so hyped up and then looking at all the potato kits and being like, oh, this isn't like Sigmar at all.
See, yeah. This makes me laugh every time. So, you know, on the GW store, you get all these like old kits that come back and made to order and people get all excited. I'm like, there's a reason they left metal behind. Like, there's a reason you can't buy it anymore. Stop swooning over it.
I find that, especially with the Middle Earth range. Like, I used to love
watching the Lord of the Rings. Terrible.
Yeah, goodness me. Like, looking at the old, like, initial Fellowship of the Ring box, I used to think, oh my god, I bet they're like, you know what you do with video games? You sort of imagine it in 4K.
Yeah.
That's the best game ever. And you look back and it's like, oh no. That is not good.
I did a similar thing. I bought the Amon Hen box set. I think it was when it came back on made to order. I was like, oh, I'm going to relive that. And I opened it and was like, oh, this is going on eBay. I was just like, I can't bring myself to have to deal with the pains of metal again.
Mistake that you made.
Yeah, I picked up the old Ezekiel. Yeah. I say old Ezekiel. It's the current still Ezekiel the Dark Angels model, and that's still metal to this day. And I was like, oh my god, like, who put this in, like, 240p? It's just, you try and paint it, and you're like, where is the edge of this detail? Yeah. Just blurs together in the metal.
I often find, so I painted a metal model recently. I did an AWP commando for Darren Latham's Space Marine Challenge. Lol.
So nice. You absolutely ruined that. Yeah. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to paint a space marine. You're like, ha, yeah. Here's an orc.
He was like, stop. I was like, no. Yeah, I think you have to do so many more layers than plastic just because the metal just somehow finds a way through. And I was just like, no, this won't do.
Just getting the old finger paints out and just literally just layering it on.
Yeah, I'm just going to get the old dunk method. That'll be
okay, so obviously there's tons of this hobby, and you've now expanded out into Instagram and YouTube, so your hobby's even bigger. So what would you say your sort of favourite part of the hobby is? Let's go with Other Kieran. I'm going to call you Other Kieran. Wait, had a bit of a joke about this before we started. You're Other Kieran.
That's
yeah.
That's fine.
Because you went second, so now you're Other Kieran.
In which case, well, yeah, fine.
this is going to be confusing. I'm just going to change my name to Jeff. My name is Jeff.
Truthfully, I think my favourite used to be building. So kit bashing and building and all the rest of it used to be like the best time ever for me. But I think because I seem to have this such like a heads down approach with painting now, and it's like as soon as I finish something, it's on to the next thing. I don't often give myself a lot of time to have like a bit of a creative flex with it anymore.
So truth
be told, I think it's probably between painting and the recording YouTube content. I think they're like my top two for sure.
Nice. And Jeff?
I like how you mentioned YouTube there, just to satisfy me there.
happy life, baby. You know how it is.
We're friends, I promise.
I love you.
I don't really have a favourite bit anymore. It's all just blurred into one. If I'm not editing, we're recording, or if I'm not doing either of those, I'm trying to paint something out of the backlog.
There it is.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like it's, but like obviously you mentioned like it blurring into one. I think the nightmare scenario we found ourselves with now is that there is just not enough time.
Yeah,
we can't juggle all of these things yet. We're still doing it, and it, at some point, we're just going to crash, and it's going to be a horrible. Yeah, we're just going to be so burnt out. But I think for the moment, it's just been.
I can tell you when we're going to crash. It'll be the 24 hours of Advent challenge.
Oh God! So we'll be dead in time for Christmas. Excellent. ho ho ho, everyone.
I mean, if you can last out until your Titan challenge. That would be nice. I'd quite like to see that.
Warhammer.
When you started making the sort of real big bucks.
That's sweet.
The really funny thing is, so that was like the first like idea that I came up with, and I pitched it to you, and you're like, oh, that's really cool. And then he was like, how much actually is a Warhammer Titan? And I was like, oh, it's 469. And then he's like, nope.
Yeah, that was a hard one. I think painting resin at the best of times is not mine. Idea of fun, and then so I'd recently painted a polyfill, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
So I did one of those.
You use the name that we called it, don't use that name, don't use his actual name.
Sorry, the turtle head titan.
Oh, yeah,
so I painted that recently as a commission, and I think I really liked the idea of it at first, but then halfway through this just monster model, I was like, who paints knights for fun?
I do.
What? Yeah, credit to you guys, because I don't think I could ever have a knight's army. It just drove me mad. Painting the same...
I love it.
Oh, you wait.
No.
I'm going to make you paint one.
I don't know what it is.
There's a lot of enjoyment in painting knights. I mean, I do stupid stuff like painting cables, which no human should ever do. But.
Maybe you guys are just much more patient than I am. Like the concept of like Golden Demon, for example, like some of these people that paint the same model for like a year. I seriously cannot imagine anything worse.
I was going to say, if you can't knock it out in an afternoon, you don't want to know.
It's true. Can I paint it in an hour? No, don't want it.
I don't know what it is.
I remember when we did the... So do you remember when the Wrath of the Soulforge King box set came out? And that was like our first foray into like, oh, we're going to have to paint these anyway. Let's just see how we get on just recording it and see how well it does. Your other Kieran's video is 7 minutes long. Mine is like 19 minutes long.
Hilariously, Bash Thor is what, like 5 times the size of Unreal?
Yeah. It's got 5 times as much views as well, which is the like annoying thing.
To be fair, I think as soon as I started him, he sort of looked like that burnt chicken from Mulan. And then, like, I think it was like fast forward 2 hours, I was like, oh, I'm done. And Kieran was like, what?
There's a reason we haven't done another painting video since. I really did enjoy that.
I think there's definitely a dark side to content creation. I think it's just the time spent with the sort of payback you get afterwards, or the risk of payback, I should say. Like, so we've invested in some videos before, like so much time, effort, like money in some cases as well, and then they're just absolutely flogged. And then we just created the most sort of B-tier how to strip a Warhammer video. And it's our highest performing one. And we're like, what?
So that was so annoying because I was like, because when I pitched to you the idea of doing the boarding actions 24-hour challenge, you're like, oh, this will be the big one. This people on YouTube, they're sadistic. They like 24-hour challenges. This will get us places. It didn't really do very well. And then I was like, oh, I've got to strip some Warhammer anyway. Should I just stick a camera over my shoulder and we'll just do like a low effort video?
So that's from a place of that's what people are looking for. Because the amount of people that strip down models, I like magnetizing so many people that are like, yeah, I really want to give it a go. But then they're like really worried about doing it. So they go on YouTube and just look for stupid stuff like that. Mm. I wonder if that's got something to do with it.
I think there's such a high... I think there's such a high price point in this hobby that as soon as you damage something, so it's like you're throwing that money away. And I completely resonate. Like the amount of kit bashing questions I've had, and they've been shocked at my response of just being like, yeah, well, just cut through it. I'm sure it'll be fine. The worst case scenario, that's why they made green stuff.
Yeah. I've done that with the Terminator Captain from the Leviathan box. That was like, nice. I've kind of done like mini kit bashes or like things, but I kind of went a little bit full on him. So he's like full Deathwing. So he's got like a banner, he's got like the, what's that into him? All sorts. But yeah, I was just like quit in battle damage and I was like, is this really stupid? Am I? Is it better to just paint this? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get my knife. I'm just going to, oh, I've cut it. I'm like, well, that's it now. So I've done so much to it. I'm like, hey. I can fill it in.
There's a dark side to kit bashing though. So we did, I did the Khan kit bash and the first iteration of that, I showed it to my partner. She's like, why is that guy having a shit? I was like, wow, this was my first ever kit bash and you've just absolutely reduced it to turd.
Solid. Nice.
I then FaceTimed Kieran in a panic. I was like, can you help me fix this? My partner's told me it looks like he's having a shit. And then you're like, yes, he does. Do this.
Yeah, I mean, again, your Instagram's full of kit bashes. That seems like a really fun thing. Like your samurai tau, I guess.
Let's
I love it. Love them.
I think to be fair, like when it comes to kit bashing, like as soon as Games Workshop, as soon as they release something new, I'm like, what can I do with that? I think it's very very rare that they'll release a kit where I'm like, that's perfect. Keep it as it is. And I tried to have that conversation with Darren Latham when we last went to Warhammer.
I was about to say the same. Yeah.
They enjoyed that one.
I was about to say that. Yeah. So you've never seen the light die from someone's eyes. Like we were sat in Bugman's and we managed to have like a 10-minute conversation with him. And like he was talking about all these really, like his favourite kits that like he's designed over the years. And other Kieran was just like, but I look at them, I'm like, oh, I can cut them up and do this. And then he's just like, you know, that takes me like hundreds of hours and you're just there like, yep, snip, I think this is better.
I feel like you can do stuff with kitbashing that you can't necessarily do with a lot of like the model building stuff.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because ultimately, like, everybody has their own style and their own ideas. Mm. I think one of the best things about Instagram and social media in general is that you have access to all of that, everybody's inspiration at your fingertips. And that, without sounding like a complete nose, like, that is, yeah, that is like the holy grail for me. And I think I spend more time looking, like, I'll go down a rabbit hole of like a theme or an army, or I'll like focus on like, say, for example, like other artists that are on Instagram, they're sort of like my flavor of the week, and I'll go through their profile and sort of stalk some of the bits they've done or whatever. It's just like, honestly, like, some of the people in our hobby are just like utterly phenomenal. And yeah, like,
oh, thank you.
You, mate, your tyranny, an inspiration for us all. Yeah, no.
The grey ones or the painted ones?
You know what? Definitely the grey.
Definitely the sheer amount of grey shit bug things that are in my garage.
Yeah, I can't wait for the questions around the tyrannies, because I'm sure they're going to be the answers are going to be perfect.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, on the tyrannies. So, Jeff, why are tyrannies your favourite army?
they're not. Stop the slander. This goes on the internet. I don't want people thinking that I like tyrannies that much.
What's amazing is that when we did our plans for 10th edition, you were so committed on that 2000
I was.
Tyrannid army. And just... after the first challenge, we finished, and it was like 9, 10 o'clock at night after you've just been painting black carapace for like 9 hours. And you were just like, I never want to see a tyrannid again.
I was so done. Like up to that point, I was really excited. I was like, yeah, like, I'm going to re-scratch that childhood itch of having a tyrannid army. And then we did the Leviathan challenge, and it died hard about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, I don't want a tyrannid army anymore. Please, somebody take these away.
It was so hot as well, wasn't it? It was like, I think it was on the run up to 30 degrees or something in the UK on that weekend. So we were just sat there sweating, yeah. And you were just painting black for 9 hours. And you were just like, somebody kill me.
It was just so, it was demoralizing. I think it was because of, obviously, everything needs two coats of black because it was going over white. So I was like, right, I've got to do this twice. And then looking out on the table, and then it's just the sheer amount that came in Leviathan. I was like, okay, here we go. And what's even worse is we've done that challenge twice, effectively. So you still can't do them in 24 hours. I'm really glad that we didn't go with a 24-hour challenge for Leviathan, because I can't imagine anything worse than getting to like 9 in the morning going, I still don't have painted tyrannids.
Yeah. You know, on that 24-hour challenge, like, I know that, so my wife really lovingly dropped me off and then picked me up like I was going to like a friend's sleepover or something. Like, and she picked me up the next day and she was like, don't forget, we're going for a roast with our friends at lunch. And I was like, I haven't slept. And she was like, yeah, well, that's the you problem. So there I was in this pub in Devon. It must have been like 2-3 in the afternoon. And I wasn't talking. And my friend Will was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm so exhausted. I don't know what to do. I'm not even hungry. Yeah, it was messed up.
It was similar for me, actually. Like, oh, you left mine at what, about 10 o'clock in the morning at that. And then I cleared everything away. I had like a third wind, I think it must have been by the, but I was like, right, clear it all away. It's all done. Go about my day. I think I sat in my living room at about 11 o'clock and was like, somebody was like, what do I do? I want to be refreshed. I don't want to go to sleep because I won't sleep tonight. What do I do with my life? And it was like 9 hours of that, of trying to not fall asleep. I think I had an hour nap, I think, at like 2 o'clock. I was just like, oh, I've succumbed.
At this point, I don't even think you're at 1,000 subscribers.
No, we weren't.
Utterly shocking.
That's how you build it. It's all that effort, and just that's what's getting you those extra.
Yeah,
those three extra subscribers. Yeah,
I tell you what, mate. You say that, but we do a 24-hour challenge, and it's a stripping video a paint stripping that gets us the views. So I was like, no.
I think the we're doing a Christmas 24-hour challenge, and it's our first time revisiting that, because after that we were both like, no, I'm never staying up for 24 hours again,
right.
Never doing it again. And then so I knew that our Christmas idea I pitched to Kieran and was like, can we do this in 12 hours? And you're like, yeah, that'd be fine. And then you were like, oh my god, we could do the 24 hours of Advent. And I was like, oh. Like, what have you done?
We've got the 24 doors. Yeah, it'll be good. I just imagine like us being really tired and grumpy. You probably still doing tyrannids.
<There's... laughs> Not doing tyrannids for it. No way.
Yeah, it's just going to be utter. It'll be a hot mess for people to enjoy over the festive period. So, yeah.
Well, I suppose we're going to dress up as Santas for it as well. It'll be all Christmas themed. So I think by the end of it, we're like, what is Christmas? I don't want this anymore.
What is it in the Grinch? He's like, I hate Christmas. I
hate. Like an anti-Grinch. You start off enjoying Christmas, then you hate it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come full circle for sure.
Okay, so we know that tyrannids aren't Jeff's favourite army. What are your favourite armies? And given you've just done a video on this should like. Off the tip of your tongue, right?
Absolutely.
So, number one, Chaos Knights.
Solid.
Because the flavour you get, I'm a big like mech fan for like anime and stuff, so like Gundam, Evangelion, all of those ones. I'm like, give me 10-year-old Kieran on his bedroom floor with two toys smashing them together. That's like me with Chaos Knights and all of that jazz. Then Dark Angels, because best Legion, best chapter, best Primarch.
Yeah, you guys are really connecting over Dark Angels, and I'll be honest, it's been tough to watch.
You're slowly converting.
Dark Angels, okay. Chaos Knights are the best way. We just need to get you turned on to Chaos Knights, and there you go.
Sure. You know what? Full disclosure. So I've been looking at a way to get back into Heresy, because I think since I sold my Thousand Suns army, like, I think I've just been sort of exploring what I could do, and I think knowing that you can play a Dark Mech army and utilize the Chaos Knight bits, I was like, that feels like a cool way of being like, okay, now I can paint a Chaos Knight and see what the fuss is about. So maybe. Yes. Not making any promises, but maybe.
I don't think we can give you permission as the Kieran Show to do Heresy again, though. We don't have the time.
We have the resources because we don't.
Like, not to sugarcoat it, but I do more than you. I don't need another game system taking your time.
Enjoy that in your own time. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Angels, Chaos Knights, absolutely solid choices. Yeah. Other Kieran, what are yours?
Top for me, absolutely, is Chaos Space Marines.
Fucking boring they are.
You're boring. Yeah, the bin. my favourite thing about Chaos Space Marines is purely like the sheer amount of flavour. I think each of the specific traitor legions is so diverse, and I absolutely love them. I think my only gripe is that don't get me wrong, the kits that Chaos Space Marines have are like phenomenal, but there's just no diversity, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So, like, they don't have any, like, Night Lord kits. They don't have any Emperor's Children kits yet. Can't wait for that, but yet. There's, specific 40k Iron Legion, I don't know, like, Automata or something, whatever their Heresy jargon things are called. Like, I think there's a lot of really cool potential that hasn't been quite tapped into yet. And I think, as far as, like, rumours or whatever, like, all I've heard so far is Bikes and Emperor's Children, which I think is fine, like, because obviously I can't wait for Emperor's Children, but, you know, Bikes, whatever. But, yeah, and then...
Like I said, I'm painting up a Raven Wing list at 750 points of Raven Wing at the minute, so Bikes are mine, bread and butter at the minute.
Oh, for sure. Sorry, I don't mean, like, Bikes are rubbish, because I love the concept of Bikes. I just think that, yeah... There's more that you could do. That's all.
Oh yeah.
I don't agree with bikes in 40k. Why would you drive?
What? I thought you loved Dark Angels. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I do, but the hang concept on, of a bike.
Wait, hang on. Don't knights have pilots?
Yeah.
What are you talking about then?
They're more like tanks though.
So you've got walking titans and you're like, no, I'm going to get on a motorbike.
I think it's cool.
It makes no sense. Why can't they fly? So somewhere
That's a fair one. Yeah.
You've gone from 30k, which had like jet bikes. You got the Khan on his little one, and then you've got 40k, and you're like, oh, we've just got wheels.
Yeah, why did they switch jet bikes in 30k to wheels in 40k? What was the deal there?
Heresy. It's heresy to have wheels.
Damn heresy.
Someone let White Scars make a decision, and they're like, ah, let's go back.
I think jet bikes are definitely cooler, but I've got a soft spot for the Outriders. I've just done a bit of a kitbash of taking the Ravenwing parts onto the Outriders. They just suit it so well. They're such nice models.
Yeah, I've got that sprue in the garage. It's picked up when we're at Warhammer World. Similar plan to yourself to get some Outriders and go, then our Ravenwing.
Yeah.
No,
but you don't like bikes. So.
I mean, I like bikes. It's just the thought of, like, you know, you've got all that cool stuff in 4K. You're like, no, I'm going to drive a bike.
But surely it's better than like mecha horses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no discussion there. No, sorry, I'd make quiet players, but no. No.
Oh, you meant I thought you meant the Imperial Guard one that's got real horse.
Oh. I thought you were talking about, because I thought Admech.
I mean, the Admech ones are stupid as well, but the Guard one, I was just
They make more sense. Like, the Imperial Guard, right, Lord Cyanidus, or whatever he's called. Definitely not called that, but Cyanidus is sticking. He's like, no, I'm going to ride an actual horse. And look like a... Ugh.
But where do they get them from? No. There's just this assumption that are just around the entire galaxy, they just got just random horses for, like, Lord Castellans or whatever they are. Like, here's a horse. You've been promoted. Here's a horse. You're like, cool. Can I not have like a tank? That black guy got a tank. He's a tank commander. Can I not have that?
That guy's driving a giant robot. Oh, dear.
Horses. I don't get at all. Bikes, I do. Like the idea of having a bike, you can get down like narrow spaces quickly, and jet bikes would make way more sense. But
yeah.
I wonder whether we will eventually see jet bikes come back.
I hope so. With all the change to grav, when you look at all the Primaris stuff, you'd like to think so. Hopefully, when they redo the Samael model, because he's on a jet bike, isn't he? On the Forge World model or whatever it is.
Mm.
Not buying him because he's resin. Hopefully, they'll remake him. But hopefully, if they remake him, they'll bring out jet bikes with it.
I love that model, but it's like you said, it's fine cast. Like, I'm just like, no, not a good touch. Not even going to touch it.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's made of potato, sorry. No, thank you.
Yeah, you buy it in the sauce like a banana. You're like, what? Why?
What do I do with this?
So, oh, go and get a hairdryer and hot water. Like, oh, I shouldn't have to do that with a brand new model that I've literally just bought.
Yeah, I imagine he must be in for a new model in the Dark Angels refresh that's supposedly coming next.
Yeah, I really hope so. Just Ravenwing in general, I mean, they get refreshed, as well as Deathwing, because new Terminators, Deathwing. I've already kitbashed them, so I'm hoping they'll just look like mine, and they'll just all squeeze together. But...
As another Dark Angel player, would you want to see it as an upgrade sprue or their own kit?
Be fine with an upgrade sprue. Their own kit would be nice, because the Deathwing Knight model is the Lion's my favourite model, but the Deathwing Knight model is probably my second favourite model for a long time. It's my favourite model in the entire range.
Mm.
They're really cool, and I think it'd be interesting to see what they do with that, because I think an upgrade sprue makes more sense in terms of production and everything else. But when you've gone from that Deathwing Terminator kit that makes three different Terminator kits and is a brilliant kit in terms of what's in it, to then just go to an upgrade sprue, I think it will feel a bit cheap if that's the way they go.
I guess it depends how they do it, because obviously, like you say, you can have three different ones. So you can have the Knights, Terminators, and I guess it's now the Command Squad, isn't it? They're Terminators, the Knights.
Yeah.
So you've got like all your banners and all your special weapons. Well, I guess most of the special weapons are there. So the only special weapon difference is the... Is it the flamer? Yeah, the Dockingers get the heavy flamer, don't they, with that kit? Which I don't think...
They get a plasma cannon as well.
Yeah, like they the
get,
banner.
They get a few bits.
Yeah.
And the apothecary as well.
Yeah. But then they've got all different shoulders, they've got different legs. Like, every part of it is completely different from a standard Terminator.
They're really cool.
I suppose they've got a fellow Dark Angels army box or something, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a good one for sure.
Either way, they're going to print money, so, you know.
No, for sure.
Back to Chaos Space Marines, though. I struggle a little bit with the Hyper Ant. I just find them as a really sort of semi-bland... I'm a bad guy. Cool.
Let's remember my boring comment earlier. They are like they've got some brilliant kits.
Yeah,
but they all blur into one and become boring.
What is it that you find boring? Is it like specific Legion? Is it the color choices in some of them, or is it just like the general aesthetic?
I think it's just the general. It's the fact that it's like trying really hard to be bad guy. When you look at like the really specific ones like Bile and like Vashtor and like Abaddon, when you look at really specific models and they've got really, really cool stories, you're like, yeah, those are really, really awesome. You look at World Eaters, Death Guard, I'm like, yeah, those are cool. And then you get sort of CSM and you're like, yeah, but they're all the same. It's, I guess for me, it's like when you look at Space Marines, the difference between like Ultramarines, Salamanders, Imperial Fists, I'm like, yeah. Space Marines.
I suppose that just sort of rolls alongside my argument, doesn't it? Like just the lack of relevancy with the kits. I think just like a couple of upgrades. Because I mean, really, in reality, we've got the Primaris upgrade sprues for the majority of the major Space Marine legions, but we don't have that Chaos. And as much as I think that's a bit of a shame, like even the Chaos Space Marine bloody transfer sheet you get in a box is utter tosh. So.
Maybe
in the future. I don't think it'll be anytime soon, though.
It's just real shame.
Yeah, is what it is.
I'd love to see like a Night Lords pack or something that you can get.
Yeah, I think the danger with Night Lords is that because they have sort of scavenged a lot of their armor pieces, like they would have to have very specific. I'm going to cover bloody lorehead here. they'd have to have like a mixture of like Mark III, Mark VI, Mark II. And then, like, some other bits that they've robbed, which I personally would love, but I think, I don't know how they'll go with it. I don't know. There's another reason why I really love Chaos Space Marines is that the Chaos Space Marine players that can kit bash and will kit bash are some of my favorites. Like, some of the armies on Instagram at the moment. So, Mikhail, who, is Augustus Brass on Instagram. So I met him at No Retreat. A couple of months back, and his World Eaters Force and his sort of process when it comes to kit bashing, like, was so inspiring. And there's some other Chaos players out there as well. And just what you can do with what other people, as we've already sort of experienced, are a bit sort of like beige. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, so cool.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, your Chaos specials are beautiful. They're incredible.
Yeah, they've definitely been a passion project over the last few years. And I think there was certainly the first army that I really, really sort of fell in love with. And I think I've definitely mentioned a million times before, like, just regular Space Wolves don't do it for me at all. I think the sort of beta Viking sort of, it just doesn't do it for me. Like Vikings, when I sort of think of it, they sort of murder and pillage and burn and all of those sort of adhere to the Chaos way of their mantra. So I was just like, hang on, let's do a little switcheroo and just pretend that Lehman Russ came out of the warp after 10,000 years. And he was like, I'm a bad guy now. So, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely been fun to experiment with and making the Space Wolves kit, despite it being really old and also a bit shit, actually... sort of mix it up with some Chaos Space Marine bits and bring it forward a bit. It's been really exciting. But thanks,
man. That's fine. And I realised I just said Imperial Fists are a bit crap, and Kieran... started one, which actually looks... They're looking incredible. I will say that, but
They're not Imperial Fists. It's fine.
I've got a ladder trying to climb out that hole that I've just dug.
Throwing you the rope down. There you go.
No, they're not true Imperial Fists, so it's fine.
They're like semi Black Templars, basically.
They're going to be my like what if project, similar to what Kieran's were with Liam and Russ. It's going to be what if Sigismund wasn't killed by Abaddon. What would have happened to the Black Templars? Would they have stayed more aligned with Imperial Fist's etiquette, I guess? Because as we know from like the siege, like as much as Rogel was horrible to Sigismund and all that, Sigismund still like he still had like a respect and everything for the Legion that he came from. So I think in my fluff, he would have still kept that, but then branched out into the zealotry and everything that the Black Templars became.
Can you imagine how like disjointed and disheveled Sigismund would be if he like suffered like such a life altering wound but didn't die? Like he's just been running around with the Emperor's sword, like slaying people for fun. He comes against a bad and he's like, no. Yeah,
he's I do feel sorry for him. Like how many people does he like single-handedly tank in like the whole of the Siege of Terror, and then he's brought down by Abaddon?
Yeah, Abaddon is legit, and I'll fight you on this.
Yeah,
we died.
I agree with that. Yeah, Abaddon is probably one of my he's one of the people, one of the characters that I love to hate and hate to love. He's so well written. I think he's a great
character.
He's
brilliant in the Horus Heresy as well. Like all of the books that he's in, like the first three, you really get even from Horus Rising, you get a sense of when they introduce him and then like he's talking to people, you're like, oh, you definitely become who you do in the end. You're like, it's already there.
It's funny.
You're already a giant walking douchebag.
That came from a real place, didn't it? Yeah, I think
it's just horrible to my boy Loken.
Yeah, but because I came to the Siege of Terror so late, I think when I was Horus Heresy so late, like when I was reading the books, like everyone was obviously like way, way, way ahead as far as the narrative was concerned. But I was sort of reading all these with like a bit of an open mind, and I'll be honest, like the first sort of chapter that Horus is introduced, I was like, "You're a bad man." I was like, "This is wicked," and then it's almost like his perpetual story. I was like, you're a massive idiot. I was like, you've got this little rat like running around like, oh, you should do this, Horus. Yeah, come this way, Horus. And he's like, yes, this seems totally noble. I'll do this. And I was just like, you're an absolute fool.
Yeah. You can say that about almost any of the Primarchs through when you read that. Even the Lion, which pains me to say, when you read the earlier Dark Ages book, spoilers, I'm going to say it because if you've not read them at this point, they're quite old.
Old are they now? They're like 10 years?
Something like that, yeah. I'm like, Lion, you're a dick. When he kills Lemuel, I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, what?
Other Kira's not got there yet. He's on that arc.
He was absolutely right. We're way past spoiler gate now.
Sorry.
Been out for what, like 20 years? Yeah, I'll get it right.
Oh yeah, those books are really . Well, now that other Kira knows, I can finally talk about the Lion and the old, that really questions like oh, do I like the Lion that much if he's just gonna absolutely bitch slap his best chaplain into next week?
Yeah, I will say though the new Lion book, which I won't spoil because it is due, become my favorite book, my favorite Black Library book.
I haven't managed to read that yet.
I really did like it. I'm not sure it's up there quite that high for me, but I'm not as much of a big Lion fanboy as you guys, but it was good. Yeah. It was definitely good for sure.
I've listened to it five times. That gives you an idea.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Lion though, did you see the Joy Toy one that was announced today? Like, right, that's going straight in my basket.
Damn.
Yeah, it's going to be, do you see it? Because they've got a Gulliman one I saw as well. Yeah, she's like 135 quid. I was like, oh, that's steep for something I'm not going to put on the table.
Yeah, so the Joy Toy like pricing is really, really complicated, because like if you buy it from China, they're like 20 quid for like the normal one, the little ones. Obviously, they don't pay tax and VAT and everything. I think they're hard to get in the UK. So trying to find any of it for a reasonable price in the UK is really hard because everyone's like, oh, we've gone through the whole rigmarole of getting this imported to the UK.
Yeah.
So they're going to add it on, like, even Element Games, you know, that is pretty good discount Warhammer. They're like, their price for Joy Toy, although it says it's discounted, it really isn't. Like, yeah. there's an extra £10 on there, and I know it's about 10 quid because I've shopped around and there are other places you can get them, and they're far. There's a bit added on for obviously the import and everything, but they are UK stores and they're more reasonable than I think Firestorm yeah. Games as well. They sell them, but there's a big markup on them. I guess it's maybe their supplier, but yeah.
Yeah, the Lion is a mad spending.
Well, I don't know, because I think when I think a lot of people, like, it builds a lot of hype, and I think everyone will be like, oh, I'm going to get that, and then when it comes out and they realise how hard Joy Toy stuff is to get in the UK, and also the price.
I don't know, but FOMO does a really weird thing to the community. I don't buy that at all.
I guess so, yeah, obviously.
Well, you got to remember, though, it's a Games Workshop, they don't sell Joy Toy on their website. They haven't since like the first wave, so I think a lot of people will forget that he's around, unless you shop around in like Forbidden Planet and places like that. I don't think you'll know that it's come out, because obviously it's not going to go up for, I don't think it'll go up for pre-order on there. So I mean, it may do, but based on the Gilliman Joy Toy figure wasn't put up for pre-order on Games Workshop's website, I think you can put good money on the line won't be either.
I guess we'll see. It's one of those ones as well. I think there's a lot of people in the community that it's almost like it's a niche within a niche. There is people who absolutely love them, who will buy them almost no matter what, whereas there's a lot of other people. This has probably been the first one that I've been like, ooh, right, Steph, I kind of want it. All the others, I was like, cool, but I can't put it on the table.
So I nearly bought... Yeah. I nearly bought the Imperial Fist, the standard Intercessor one. I think I saw it on like a website like 29 quid, and I was like, oh, I can see what the fuss is about. And I was like, what am I going to do with it? Where am I going to put it? I can't use it for anything.
You figured you get the line, which is twice the set.
Yeah. Put that pocket money towards a better one that comes.
No.
Although, actually, to be fair, have you seen the Dreadnoughts?
Oh, the Dreadnoughts are amazing.
Shit,
yeah.
Cool. They are really, really cool. They're massive as well, so I really want to get one and just unbox it and go, oh my god, this is like Pacific Rim.
I saw someone's comment on the post today, and someone was like, so who is going to be the first person to actually run like a full table, like a Titan Owners Club type game of Joy Toy?
Yeah.
That'll be
someone's done Kill Team. I've seen that on Twitter, or formerly known as X, as everyone seems to refer to it these days. Someone's played Kill Team with a full set of Joy Toy stuff.
Imagine if
they fall over. Like, I've got like articulated Gundam figures and stuff like in my office above my head and everything. But trying to pose them is a nightmare. Imagine trying to having to make sure it stands up for a game and doesn't just fall over and take everything with it.
Okay, well, we'll kind of move on a little bit from Warhammer as a thing. We'll talk more about the sort of content creation community side. Obviously, you've both got your Instagrams and your YouTube channel, which we've talked quite a lot about. You've had them for quite a while. Like Kieran, other Kieran, yours was what, like 2020-ish you started?
Yeah, 2020. So I think it must have been sort of July, August, that time, yeah.
So you're 3 years. Mm-hmm. Kieran, you were a little bit after that, weren't you? Not by a huge amount, I think.
So I could already see other Kieran smiling, because this is almost my own like tragic story. So I had Instagram before COVID, and I was posting Warhammer content, but it's like my own personal. It's just like to like friends and stuff. So that was when I got back into the hobby properly, which is about, like I said at the start of the first edition of Kill Team. So that must have been what, like 2017, I want to say, maybe a bit later than that. But yeah, I had Instagram then, and then we had the pandemic, and then I was like, right, I'm going to get rid of all of my social media because I'm fed up of seeing about this. And that's when everybody gravitated to, yep. And I just like, no, I'm going to leave all social media.
That's heartbreaking.
Oh, it's one of my favourite stories. It's so brutal.
Yeah, I mean, to rub it in, I was chatting with Fletch, and one of the same questions I asked is sort of how you grew. I'll ask you in a minute, and he was like, well, it grew most through COVID because everyone was working from home, and he was like, COVID, like Instagram has slowed down massively since like COVID ended. So Yeah.
I've only just tipped 1K about a couple of weeks.
Congratulations.
Did it.
It's nothing compared to the 16 or whatever other Kieran's on now. But yeah, I dread to think what, because at that point when I deleted, I didn't post a great deal of Warhammer on the Instagram account. I think it was a personal one. I had like actual people that were like, what's this nerdy stuff? So I had banks and banks of stuff I painted over years. So like throughout COVID, I could have moved to a more hobby centric Instagram account. I could have posted all of that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I started this podcast.
Heartbreak.
As soon as you're a YouTube channel. After COVID, just as everyone's stopping listening to podcasts, I was on downward curve. Perfect time to start.
Absolutely right.
It's the same with YouTube. I think that's definitely on the downward decline. I think if you look across channels that are way bigger than us, even their views across their videos, like they're down compared to what they were. But YouTube is a whole beast. Instagram is pretty tame compared to the monster that is trying to get noticed on YouTube.
That was one of the weird things. It's something that I've looked at for this podcast. Is I have pretty much all of this done as recording, like video recordings. I could put it up there. I'm just like, is it worth the extra effort of going and editing all the videos put up on there? I know that apparently it's supposed to be good for live streaming side of things. It's supposed to be better than like Twitch. Because there's some weird thing with Twitch where it's all based off how many people you've got watching you at a time. So if you've not got any, you're kind of just relying on somebody finding you.
Yeah.
Whereas YouTube apparently actively pushes small channels for live stream stuff. So you're more likely to get recommended if you're on YouTube as a small channel for some reason for live streaming. Don't know why.
We haven't done a live stream. No. Yeah, purely because our live stream would look like this. You'd have other Kieran on a potato phone, me with all that just set up.
Or other Kieran would just actually have to see you three times in a week rather than just the twice.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
That's a commitment. I'm going to have to do it.
It's a weird one. I've thought about doing it. I mean, my painting's terrible, so I probably wouldn't get that many viewers. But it's one of those things I've kind of just thought about doing. Like, should I interview quite a lot of people? Is that something that you could do sort of like? Mm-hmm. Like people do it on Instagram, stuff like that, but... Then you're fighting with everybody that's on there. I mean, Valrak, for example.
I think in reality, like, you're always competing with somebody else for somebody else's time. Like, everyone's time is so precious, and I think you have to have a hook. And I think there's certainly something there. Like, you have to believe that your content is good enough. Otherwise, you won't do anything, you know? And you've really got to sort of push yourself and put yourself out there. Yeah, I think the live stream game definitely is hot at the moment. I know that, especially in regards to bat reps, like Vanguard, Titans, like they seem to be like relishing it. So, yeah, there's definitely the market for it.
Wow, that's something you guys would be doing. Because you've done start doing bat rep, right? You did. You did two? One, two?
Yeah,
we've done a few. I think it's really difficult. I'm sure Kira will probably have his take as well on this, but like bat reps, again, like I'm going to totally contradict myself here. It's such a saturated market, and there's certainly like a level with bat reps. Like if you have to be like bloody brilliant at it. And I think we are obviously like still finding our feet, so we're not like too like heavily invested, I suppose. Like obviously we know it's the best with what we can do currently, which is obviously like great as far as we're concerned. And if we get to watch Kieran eventually play as Nids, then obviously that we're all the way in. But
yeah, you have to live stream that to see that everybody can actually see it in person.
Look, this army does exist.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we've all heard Bird and Kieran, the fact that he lost the opportunity to really boost his Instagram, but it's interesting. So, what made you want to come back in then? Because you stopped, you decided that you were going to sort of drop the social media. What made you then kickstart it again?
I don't really know. I think I was feeling very isolated in terms of Warhammer in general. Like, it was hard to find people to play. It's hard to find people to play with in general, even more so in the Southwest where we are. Yeah. So I was like, right, I'll reactivate some social media. I'll do it only for Warhammer. Like, I'll try and find some people to play games with. I'll use Instagram purely from a hobby perspective and try and get inspiration or just swoon over like other people's minis and just see what's out there, really.
That feels like a fairly common literally the last episode with Katie, when I asked her why did she start her Instagram, she's now like 60,000 followers. She said because she was lonely. She wanted to chat with people. She was in the middle of a pandemic. She couldn't see people. I feel that's a really, really common thing across Instagram. And I feel like that's probably why it boomed so much during COVID, was because people were lonely and they wanted to reach out to other people who had a very similar sort of joy in life.
Everybody wanted them internet friends.
Yeah. Wait, let's be honest. All friends were internet friends at that point, weren't they? It doesn't matter. It didn't matter whether or not they were real before. They became internet friends anyway.
Well, not if you're Boris Johnson, they weren't.
That's true. that's true.
There are many things I thought we'd be talking about tonight, but politics wasn't up there. I'm so glad it's all sprinkled in.
Yeah, we've talked politics. Should we just throw in religion as well? Let's get the...
Let's get it all out on there. Let's ruin our trajectory of YouTube before it even begins.
just get cancelled or something. By accident.
Yeah.
They said, what about the Tories?
Okay. Brother Kieran, what made you start your Instagram? Obviously, you've got a few more followers than Kieran or I.
Yeah. A couple. I won't go on more about it. Yeah, just a couple. I think it's interesting. Like when I first picked up that Indomitus box, I initially went on Instagram for inspiration. So I used to play quite a lot of guitar or whatever, and I used to use Instagram for inspiration for that as well. So like learning new techniques or new chords or solos or whatever. So I used to sort of do a lot of my research there. I'd probably use Instagram and TikTok more for sort of inspiration more than Google now, which is like, I think for a creative aspect, like it's brilliant. Mm. So when I first opened that enormous box of plastic, I was like, oh, maybe I could see some other people's schemes. And I haven't painted since I was like 12 years old. So I probably need a bit of inspiration. I saw like these massive, massive accounts at the time. And obviously like saw the likes of Mini War Game on Tabletop Tactics, and I realized that there were YouTube channels now, and I was like, what on earth is going on? I was like, I need to get in there. So I set up a Instagram account mainly just for like a progress point of view. So I think there's something incredibly humbling about seeing like where you've come from and the progress that you make with, especially when it comes to like arty sort of creative bits. I think it's really, really nice to watch. And yeah, I jumped head first and I was like, well, hey everyone, I just bought the Indomitus box and I bought it from this shop. Thanks so much to Adam and Rach from a teeny tiny little shop down in Kingsbridge in the southwest. And yeah, and it's just been like such a whirlwind since then. I think, yeah, like now it's very rare actually that I'll go down my Instagram account and look at the progress that I've sort of made over the last 3 years. But hilariously, in preparation for the podcast I did tonight, and like recently I've been painting up some like Tau stealth suits for the new Tau project that we've got going on for 10th, and like the stealth suits hilariously were one of the first ever minis I painted since coming back. And I've got like a little side to side then and now picture that I'm going to post probably at the weekend. And yeah, that is, it was really, really nice. Like, obviously, without tooting my own horn too much, like, it's nice seeing the progress you make when you're doing something creative. So, but yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah, nice.
You discovered the streaking grime.
Yeah. You know what? And I've got Spencer to thank for that. Goodness me. When he started using streaking grime, I was like, what is this magic? But yeah, he's certainly been like a huge inspiration actually as well. I've spoken to him like an awful lot over the last few years, and we actually met when Kieran and I went to a Throne of Skulls event a couple of months ago. And yeah, it was lush to chat with him and Rach, and we met loads of people that weekend. But yeah, no, it was awesome. Yeah,
I see you told the non funny version of meeting Spence.
Thank you to be here. All right. We've clarified that this isn't a family-friendly show. So we just finished, was it game one or game two?
It's game two of Throne of Skulls. We've just gone for lunch.
Right. So we just had lunch. Like I was probably dehydrated, a bit tired, and I was desperate for a shit. I was like running almost. I was like running, and he just went, "Oh, hi, Kieran." Like Spencer. And I was like, "Oh my God, no, not now." I was like, "Oh God." And I don't know. I don't think he knows that because I haven't told him yet. And well, if heaven forbid he listens, thank you. Heaven forbid he listens to because I was, "Oh, mate, just give me 5 minutes."
Oh, it's the bit, like one of the best stories because you know, it was years of like you like talking to him on like Instagram and stuff, and then the first time you meet him, you're like nearly giving birth.
Yeah, honestly, I was like sweating, like running past him, like, "Oh no, oh God, oh Christ, no."
Well, he's a friend of the show, yeah. So he listens to this one.
Yeah. Well, let's hope he doesn't listen to it. I'm sure he will. Which, I'm sure I'll send him a message, but yeah, Christ alive, sorry, Spence.
I thought you'd told him.
No. So, obviously, like, we'd spoken for a while, but the first time I'm meeting him, the last thing I wanted to be like, it was like, "Ha-ha, Saul's how I need it."
Yeah, that is quite an impression.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And I want to be that guy.
Okay. So, I mean, you both have built up a really good following, be it through your Instagrams and your YouTube stuff. So you've got nearly 1.5K subscribers now, something like that.
I think we're 1.8, I think.
Great.
I need to have a look now. I want to make sure I get I want the exact number.
The exact number. Kieran, check quickly.
Sorry, I'm being into it. 1.78K. Yeah, you've smashed 1.5. You're nearly in 2K.
Right.
Also, now we have definitely established that this is going to be an explicit. Your last episode put you up to 69 videos as well, which the child in me smirked at when I saw that. I shouldn't. I'm a 34-year-old man. That should not make me. Should not make me smirk.
But we're so glad it did.
Yeah, it definitely did. Especially when it's about your bottom five as well. It felt perfect. It felt absolutely perfect.
What did we kept saying about the hierarchy of turds or something?
Yes. Yeah, the turd scale. Yeah.
I think there was a comment that was like, "How many times does Kieran say poopy in this video?"
It's quite a few. Yeah, it's quite a few.
Yeah, I said it a lot. But yeah, it was mainly about ultimates.
Back to the question. Have you got any like particular advice that you'd give to anyone who's looking to start now, be it Instagram or YouTube or whatever, TikTok or whatever?
I think Kieran's probably the biggest advocate for YouTube. I know that he's certainly helmed that beast from the start, and I know that he puts in like an insane amount of hours in regards to algorithms and what might work and might not. So I think he's probably the most qualified to talk about YouTube for sure.
I think the biggest eye-opener I would probably say for anyone would be, like you said, is the time. When you get to peek behind the curtain, and you're like, "Oh, this is how much effort has to go in." But when we started, the one thing I always wanted us to have was, I thought for us to get anywhere, we would need a relatively high production value, which meant we needed to buy a bit more earlier than we would have bought, like waiting for it to come through various streams from YouTube and whatnot. I don't know. We need to start out and have that quality there, and then to then build on that as well. It's then, okay, you've got all of these tools, how do you use them? And the one philosophy that I think I've always tried to take with editing all of our videos is that every video I want something to be better than the last video, whether it's the way the transitions across certain clips, whether it's a flash up that comes on, like on the bottom or something, or whether it's a fancier shot, that's always built into what we wanted. Because when you've got the likes of TT and everybody that's got, it's now basically a TV company. Yeah. You know, to even compete on that level, you need to look good, you need to sound good, and then it all needs to come together. And the time to get it to come together, I think, is definitely an eye-opener. I remember the first time we edited our first video. Our first video was what, like a 10-minute introduction thing, which is the worst video I think I've ever watched of anybody ever on the internet.
I enjoyed it. I genuinely enjoyed that little video.
Yeah, we said, I think, come January next year, like when we would have the year for, had the channel for a whole year, like we were going to do like one of those sort of like BS react videos, like for our first initial couple. And I think we played maybe like 30 seconds or a minute of it. Like it was a few weeks back. It was like, must have been like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. We just finished recording and we were like, let's just watch it quickly. And we both were like, turn it off. Turn it off. This is tragic.
It's really funny because I remember when we recorded that. So at that point, I think I'm like two or three beers in because I was like, no, I'm going to be nervous. I need to get a beer jacket on. And I'm still in that video. I'm just there like, please turn the camera off. We did that. We did that. And that was what? It's not like a 10-minute video, but we were up to like 2 a.m. because then, we then learned like this is it recorded. This is then everything that comes after. And then when we started, we were like, no, we'll edit videos together because that's fairer. And then the amount of time that was required, Kieran shirked his responsibilities and just started leaving my house. And we finished recording.
I spent time on some goodbye.
This seems great. Anyway, yeah, without me sounding like a complete douchebag, like it is absolutely true. I think... this feels like a nice platform to talk about it. And I think, there wouldn't be... But this whole idea was Kieran's. I think Kieran thought about me in the shower, which was really nice.
And, you can finish your whole, like, nice thought, and then I'll give the genesis of the Kieran show where it came from.
Yeah, and truth be told, like, he puts in so, so much more time than I do. And I think... it's certainly become his baby. And I think, although, we joke about Instagram or whatever, like, this is all on the back of Kieran's hard work. So, yeah, I can be on the camera and we can be equal for 10 minutes on a Sunday morning. But, behind the scenes, it's absolutely not like that at all.
Well, see, now I'm more concerned that you don't consider it your baby either. This is a short child.
I knew you'd do that. I knew it.
He's waiting for me to change my name. We've joked about it a few times. He's just waiting for me to change my name, and then I'll come in and take over for a little bit.
Yeah, you guys will have your little Dark Angels podcast, and I'll be like, just dead to all of you.
Just touching on that Instagram thing as well. So when we started, we put our heads together, like, okay, we should get some traction out the gate, because I think at that point you just crossed 12K on Instagram. So like, okay, we'll get there'll be some bleed through. Mm. There wasn't.
Oh, really?
No.
I think we had 100 or so.
That's really interesting.
Instagram's 100, really
100 people from
I obviously, like, you asked about like wanting like some, I don't know if you were to give advice on YouTube or Instagram. I think it's really fascinating because I see the number on my screen as just a number now. Like, obviously, like when, especially when I first started, like getting like nice comments or likes or saves or reach or whatever, like they're all just numbers.
Yeah.
And I feel like initially my one bit of advice would just be around consistency. Like, look around posting, I don't know, twice a week, three times a week or more. Like, it's totally your discretion, but focus things around like hashtags, keep mixing it up, whatever. But most important takeaway is like, just if it's something that you love, like that's all that matters. Like, because I've definitely been through periods over the last 3 years where I've painted shit and it's just been like, I've just churned it out for the sake of content and I haven't enjoyed it. And you get burnt out and social media is such like a weird one. Like, and at times I feel like I'm sort of crying from an ivory tower, and I don't mean to sound like that, because obviously like it's nice. It's really, really nice when people say, nice comments and whatever. And that's obviously like great. But yeah, sometimes you can really fantasize about it and you can become a bit toxic. And like, I've definitely been involved in that. And I think it's important to understand. Be invested, be passionate about it, be consistent. But ultimately, like, if it does get a bit, if you get a bit too carried away with it and you become a bit toxic yourself, which you probably have a bit of a break and become a human being again.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's echoed so much with some stuff that people have said. But I know that, like, when you look at Rach was a really good example of it, because she posted, it wasn't that long after Warhammer Fest, I feel like. But yeah, she was posting the same thing. She was just like, I'm going to go and do stuff that I want to do, so I'm burning out. I think Silver Paints, obviously, she's dropped off Instagram completely now, because it's just, she's almost like fallen out of with it, which, yeah, it feels strange. You've got those numbers, but yeah.
They become, I think the numbers become an expectation.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a weird like stigma around it as well. Like, I remember,
yeah,
so I was talking to, when I, so one of the nicest takeaways this year has been being involved with like the Warhammer community guys, and that's been really wicked. And I said to them when I had my sort of first couple of meetings with them, I was like, look, I'm really worried about the stigma that comes with this program. Like, I don't want to be that, oh, well, you're taking mine.
Yeah.
Bullshit on a Saturday morning or whatever. And he said, and truth be told, like, the rap that Games Workshop get on a Saturday morning, like, is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But I think that the influencers, let's call them, I think has certainly been worse in the past. And I think when I first experienced that sort of negativity, I was like, okay. All right. Then.
Only other Kieran is in the Warhammer community preview, whatever that group is called. But I think behind, like, when you look at, so it's easy to see on the side of the world, but that person's got that for free. But for example, if you peek behind the curtain, less so with Instagram, but like, for example, YouTube, the amount of hours that go into you consuming that content for free definitely warrants all of the free stuff that comes with that.
It's interesting as well, like, off the back of that. So I was doing Warhammer full time until March this year. So I, unfortunately, like, the week before I got married last year, I got made redundant, which was like fucking brutal. Mm. But like, it was what it was. And I said to my wife at the time, I was like, look, I have the capacity to make a go of this. What do you think? And she said, look, I support you. If that's what you want to do, so long as it's sustainable, I don't mind. And I said, right, I'll give it a 6-month life. If it's not sort of like future proof, then I'll jump out of full time employment. And for that 6 months, like, of just solid painting, like, I certainly leveled up, which was great. But I think, I definitely couldn't see it as being future proof. And I was constantly chasing, like, the Instagram. That's where it got a bit top for sure. And I think as soon as I was like, oh, why aren't I on Warcom yet? And it was so, like, desperate and wet. And I was just like, just come on. So then, hilariously, I got a new job, and it was my last day of being a full-time commission painter, and Warcom got in touch, and I was like, of course. Of course. And you know what? Like, I think now, knowing what it's like to paint for stuff for Warcom and to paint these new kits early, you to do that as well as a full-time job in Warhammer, I think it would utterly destroy me.
Yeah, fair.
So I think there's a real special shout out to the people that do that. So I went over to Jib earlier in the year to No Retreat, and speaking to Pardo and DC about the amount of work that goes in behind the scenes, and like, they didn't get paid for it. And like, even like a channel of their sort of stature, like, they were, at the time, they were all working full time. Nobody was taking anything home. Mm. I was just like, what? Yeah, so it's interesting. I think there is obviously, Kieran's mentioned it enough, but there's certainly like a behind the curtain thing with this very niche, which I think needs to be emphasized quite a lot. Like, it is an incredibly niche hobby, and some of these people that are sort of like deemed as celebrities or whatever, like, they're not. They're just normal people who are honestly probably struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling to keep all of this content alive, keep it fresh, keep it interesting, but also like manage a healthy lifestyle as well. And I think people sort of forget that, which is a shame. But
yeah, I mean, there's a reason that these big channels, look at TT and Mini Wargame, probably the key ones, they've got their own website that you have to go and pay for to get most of their videos. They don't just do it on YouTube. It's not just stuff on Instagram or whatever. They have to have these websites, because YouTube's not a viable thing on its own.
No, yeah, I think the main philosophy that when we started, that I said to other Kieran, I was like, we need to delay our our free content needs to be better than other people's paid content. That was the only way that we were going to get up to those levels, which sounds fine in principle, but when it takes that much time and effort, I think as long as we can delay that ask for whether it's Patreon content or whether it's similar to TT in that we've got videos that are off platform on something else, I think that'll be the test of our challenge, that when we then have to go down that route, because it's becoming either we've become, there's a higher expectations of video content or amount of videos or whatever it is. So yeah, I think the main principle that we've always wanted to have is that it's almost counterintuitive. Give it away for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then worry about it later on.
Yeah,
our Discord server is free.
Yeah.
So, you know, we haven't put that, but like a lot of people will put them behind Patreon stuff, which I totally get why they do. But when we set ours up, I was like, we can't put this behind any monetary value, because people are going to be like, why would I come and join in on your ecosystem or whatever it is for YouTube when I've got one that's bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to have something that's,
but also trusted as well, I think. Like some of these content creators have been around for such a long time, and like they're now dealing with like the OGs, like Mini Wargaming, like TT, like SN, like they've been around for so long and so much longer than we have, and they've sort of perfected their craft.
Yeah.
And they just like dish out this just insane level like week in, week out, video in, video out, and it's so difficult to compete with, like especially on a paid level, it's absurd. Yeah. But yeah, so like Kieran's right. I think like our production value is great, thanks to obviously Kieran's investment in that so far. And I think, you know, maybe our time in the sun will come, but I think for the meantime, like we've just got to ensure that we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, like
it has to stay fun.
I mean, obviously, we've joked that we'll be burnt out by Christmas, ho ho ho. But like, we've just got to pray that isn't the case, because I think we both agreed at the beginning, like as soon as we fall out of love with it, we have to cancel because we can't sustain something that isn't there.
Yeah, it's a hobby. Until you're properly paid and it is viable, it's part of a hobby. And again, something I've talked about with loads of other people, it's a hobby that you really enjoy because of all the paints that you do, the playing, whatever, all this extra stuff. If that threatens burning out the rest of that hobby, is it worth it? And I think the simple answer is, well, no, it's not.
No. And I think, for a lot of people, like even myself included, like this is like a huge vice. Like it's like an amazing sense of downtime, and it could be through anything like building, playing, painting, reading. Like this is such a diverse hobby, but ultimately, like it is so many people's, they rely on it, really. And I'm certainly one of those people. And I think as soon as that risk becomes a reality and it being just a job and not a hobby anymore, like you're suddenly left without a vice and you're left without a decompression, which is pretty dangerous, really. So yeah, you've got to enjoy it, which is the most important.
I think as well, the one thing that we've always tried to maintain with the channel is that to keep on the fun element, that we're the same on camera as if you came and met us in person. I don't know about anybody else. I don't have the mental capacity or the energy to maintain two different. I totally get why people do it, so they can have that delineation of this is my job version of me, this is my me version of me. So it maintains that. I don't have the mental capacity or the time to then make that split. I'm the same across all of it, and I'm probably going to bite me in the ass one day. But yeah, we always wanted to be.
I think it's nice. We've spoken about it more than enough, like authenticity and just being us. I think definitely shines through, and I think that's definitely one of our, I suppose it's a gimmick, like it's just two guys talking about something that they really enjoy, and I think like it's not like some overproduced, like I don't know, like a performance. Like it doesn't need to be that. Like obviously, like it's really funny when we laugh about tyranny every 5 seconds, but it's still like just us setting each other silly goals rather than embarking on this just insane, I don't know, narrative journey, and everything has to be perfect and we always have to be on. And you know, sometimes, you know, your friend is a bit miserable about pyramids, and it's fun to laugh at them, and then they'll laugh about it too. And yeah, it's just being a bit more, I suppose, human. I think that there's obviously, without naming names, there's probably like we've seen it in the hobby before where it becomes like a bit of a performance, a bit of a production. And obviously that's fine if that's your niche, yeah, then by all means go for it. But it's just, yeah, it's not us.
Yeah. It was what I pitched to other kids. So I'll give the genesis of the Kieran show, because I forgot that I mentioned that earlier. So when I pitched it to other Kieran, that it's like, I think there's a niche within the niche here to be a more personality driven Warhammer content than painting driven or battle report driven, because those markets are it's oversaturated at the minute, and B, everybody that's doing it will do it infinitely better than us. But yeah, I came up with the idea for the Kieran show in the shower, which I think we've mentioned before. I do all my best work in the shower. Just, you know, thinking about other kids, I was like, oh my god, we've both got the same name. We could do a thing there.
That just occurred to you in the shower after a lot of years of friendship. We've got the same name.
We've got the same name. Oh, that's good.
You know, the seeds for the Kieran show were planted in 2005 when we met in school. And then 20 odd years later, I'm thinking about someone else that's got the same name in the chat. I could make a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then we went from there.
So you searched out for someone with the same name as you, and then cultivated a similar hobby with the aim of getting a YouTube channel based off whatever that hobby was. Didn't matter as long as you had the same name.
In theory, yeah, but we went to school together, and then as you do at the end of sixth form, you go off and have your own lives and you do all your own things. And then, funnily enough, when I made my Instagram account a year ago, whenever it was, I was like, oh my god, I know that guy's face. I went to school with him. Why is he doing Warhammer content? A, why? I've been doing it for years. Why does someone I went to school with have 8,000 followers? This is my thing. And then I reached out, and then we went, met up and had a game, then reconnected, became, you know, the best of friends, and then did
look at us,
the YouTube.
Look at us now.
This is like the story of the Notebook. This is incredible.
Just to add a Notebook element, I'm getting married next year, and other Kieran is my best man at my wedding. So we've come all the way around.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Side note, have you guys seen the Notebook? I watched the Notebook for the first time with my wife when we first met. Heartbreaking, absolutely harrowing. I was like, oh, that's a bit of an emotional film, isn't it? And I watched that, and I was like, oh my god, I'm devastated. Anyway, back to Warhammer.
I've not watched it for reference. But
I've not watched it either.
Well,
we can watch it in a challenge. We've got a challenge next Friday, actually. We'll watch the Notebook.
But isn't that then going to really challenge? Because I know the thing is, you don't want to watch anything new, so you weren't allowed to watch Digimon.
Oh, you have been doing the research.
I was gutted when we went to rewatch Digimon, because I remember doing it as a kid. Yeah. I had like a Digivice or whatever it was called. I took it to school. I was like, oh, I watched it. It was brilliant. And then we did, I don't know, to come out which challenge it was, like, oh, let's rewatch Digimon, because we'd done Pokemon on a previous challenge.
Yeah.
Pokemon's just timeless.
Turns out.
So, Digimon will be brilliant. And then I think we made it in to like episode two, and we're like, this is shit.
Oh, no. I've been thinking about Digimon so much recently. I don't know where it's going. It was like, wait, before,
don't watch it.
No.
Just leave that nugget in the past of how good it was. The only other one you can go back and rewatch, and it is just as good as Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh was solid.
That's still peak. Like, you go back. Okay, some of it's a bit over the top, but
yeah,
the whole thing still stands up.
I think just for the memes, just watch Yu-Gi-Oh. I summoned Pot of Greed.
I mean, it did put me on. I was like, yeah, I should probably go back and watch Pokemon as well. What did you call it, Kieran? Jehote. That made me laugh so much. Yeah, that made me laugh so much. Sorry.
I tell you what, we need to keep like a note of like, we call it like Kieranisms. We've got Jehote lead. Mugiwara.
Mugiwara.
Yeah, nice. You've obviously both been in the hobby for quite a long time from being kids, even though you took breaks. Do you think that you sort of, since you started to like kick off and ramp up Instagram, YouTube, stuff like that, do you think it's changed your view on the hobby all that much? Or do you still look at it in the same way as you sort of did as a kid? That was a very in unison.
That's a tough question, actually. It's definitely changed it for, in terms of the content creators, like, it's definitely changed it that it's become, this is just something I did like for 2 hours in an evening, and it's now almost a part-time job. So yeah. the only view that it has changed is that I need to be, me personally, be better at breaking those two apart. Mm. So there's the content, there's the YouTube side, and then I still need to do my own projects as well. I haven't figured out that balance yet. So do as I say, not as I do. But that's the only view that I think that's changed since all of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, like, between the breaks, obviously, like, I was a child with absolutely no worries whatsoever. So I think back then it was certainly a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like, come home from school, paint some Lord of the Rings figures, like, read some White Dwarf magazines and then go to bed. But, like, now, obviously, trying to juggle that in an adult space as well as trying to organize it as a job and a side gig as well, like, it's quite difficult. But, yeah, I suppose so. I think it's really interesting. I think, especially with the inclusion and evolution of social media, I have to remind myself quite a lot to remember why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, so as I mentioned, like, it was all about personal growth and seeing that when I first started the Instagram. And I think, you know, like, social media gets a bad rep. And to be honest, rightly so. Like, it's a marketing tool and it's how you use it, but it's so easy to run away with. And I think there's a lot of individuals on social media, not just in Warhammer, but across the board, that I don't know, there's certainly a dark side to social media for sure, yeah, and definitely. I just try to stay far away from that. Yeah, just
see, I've long maintained that everybody should have to watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix to have a social media account, to have all of that. To see what algorithms do. I work, my actual job is IT. I've been in IT for like over 10 years. So people should know what these algorithms are doing. And as soon as you put a human face to what an algorithm does, you'll then mentally unlock all the sinisterness, if that's a word it is now, of social media. As soon as you put a human face to what an algorithm does with your data and you as a person, you're like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's certainly interesting. I think, obviously, like, touched on it a second ago, it's very easy to become a bit obsessed with it, and I've certainly been guilty of that on multiple occasions in the past. But yeah, just trying to understand, one, why you did it to begin with, but two, it is a hobby, you are enjoying it, so just try and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Rather than getting carried away with numbers and likes and all the rest of it, because it can get pretty dark for something that you actually can't see, like, it's not real. And, you know, it's nice when you meet people face to face, and like, well, obviously, like, how Kieran and I got back in contact again and, you know, and play the game. And yeah, like, unpacking that again is very, very different. But yeah, no, I think that's probably that's certainly the one downside to Warhammer now. I think it comes with it's just social media. I think I'm waffling, but yeah, you get the point.
Yeah.
I think people obviously, that, you know, I think it's one of the products of social media, you get bogged down in comments and likes. YouTube likes and comments and stuff is a whole different horrific beast compared to likes and stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's because a video takes more effort or whether it's because you're putting you on the internet and you don't get the level of interaction. But it's a whole other crazy, horrible mindset.
That being said, you'll get some hate comments that are kind of funny to play with.
I've not had any.
If anybody's listening, on our YouTube channel, one of us will respond to comments. It's not just one of us. So if there's been like a snarky comment about like Tau, it might be me. Whereas if there's a snarky comment about something else, it might be other Kieran.
Yeah, it's funny. I think one of the first like negative comments I had was when I first did the Chaos Space Wolves, and somebody said, "Oh, this isn't lore accurate," and I was like, "It's not real." This is all. If I turned up with a Grey Knights faction that was themed around Hogwarts professors, you wouldn't. I mean, come on, it's all nonsense, really.
Yeah, yeah. I always enjoy that sort of gatekeeping.
You've definitely got a thicker skin than me. Like we had one. Well, I can't remember which video it was on. I think it might have been the White Scars like Kitbash video. And I went to town on the glitch transition thing, and some guy commented, "Oh, I dislike this video because of this transition." And I had like a half an hour meltdown. Is this transition doing it? What's wrong? Is it actually good? Should I take the video down and change it all? And you're like, no, it's just someone being a hater. Ignore it.
Yeah, so long as we didn't trigger anybody's epilepsy with it, I think we're still fine.
Yeah. Just coming back to that sort of the bit on obsession you sort of said there about other Kieran, it's interesting because I guess it depends on where that line for obsession is. We're all obsessed about the hobby, let's be honest. It's all we ever talk about. It's probably all we ever think about. We are all absolutely obsessed. And I've
definitely
found...
Definitely is plastic crap.
Exactly, yeah, definitely. I have found, come starting this podcast, I think about this podcast all the time. It's definitely an obsession. There's no way it couldn't be. But
It's certainly the first hobby I've ever had. Like, obviously, like, in the past, I've played a lot of sport. I've played a lot of musical instruments and stuff. Like, I've never obsessed about anything on this level before. I think to the point where I'm on my hobby Instagram probably like most of the time. Yeah, like you have to look up every now and then and be like, could I do something maybe a bit more productive? Which is probably why I paint so fast as well, because I'm like, I could just be off social media. Yeah. I'm just doing something else. But yeah, hilariously they go hand in hand. But
I think it's where that sort of line in the obsession is, because I'm somewhat obsessed with this podcast. What I'm obsessed with this podcast is chatting with people, talking about the hobby. Yeah. It's not, I'm not then going on to like the analytics from like Anchor, whatever they call it, Spotify podcasts, whatever they record it. I'm not like obsessed with, oh, what do those numbers say? How can I improve that? It's just, no, I really love chatting with people.
I guess it's
that darkness comes from where what are you obsessed with? Are you obsessed with what your hobby is, what you're enjoying, or are you obsessed with getting more likes, more comments, or whatever?
Yeah, I tried to manipulate it a bit. So for me, it certainly used to be that, and now I've now got like my notes are filled with potential army ideas and army, like there's breaking it down. But, yeah, there's I'll call it like a kitbash diary, let's say. And there's just like loads of different army concepts that are on there, which I'll never ever get to, but they're just fun to create. Yeah. Like I love writing, stories and being a bit more sort of like narratively minded. So like, hence the story for the Chaos Wars, hence the story for this new Tau thing. Like they both came from like this little notepad that I've sort of been working on. And yeah, it's a really fun thing to create like a world and create characters, or better still, if you've got this source material, which Warhammer is so rich on, yeah, you can really manipulate it and create some incredible stuff. So yeah, I definitely encourage that.
Yeah.
Just touching on your obsession point, is that like Warhammer destroys your camera roll on your phone?
Yes, it does.
I've got more pictures of tiny plastic men than I do of my own, like, fiance or my kids.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's just destroyed. Like, I wake up in the morning, the first two apps that I check, first one is YouTube Studio. Have we become a YouTube sensation overnight? The answer is never yes. And the second one is BBC News. is the world gone to shit yet? No, I can wake up tomorrow and check if I'm a YouTube sensation.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Instagram's probably one of my first ones, weirdly. Which is really bad. But yeah, Instagram, BBC News. Yeah. Similar. Has the world ended? Yeah. Okay.
No, damn.
No. Oh, and that's another day. I've got to get back into bloody work now. Yeah.
Damn, I haven't won the lottery. I have to actually do a job.
Oh, if only. Yeah. Anyway. is a somewhat nice transition to sort of the third area, which is real life, outside of hobby, whatever you want to call it.
I haven't got one.
No, not the vibe. That's what we're going to talk about now, is how little of a real life have we got. We've talked about it so much. You do this a lot. Is there anything either of you do to sort of get away from Warhammer or anything like hobbies or the way you spend your time to get away from it, to stop that burnout?
I'll let Kieran go first because I think he's far more interesting outside of Warhammer.
He's already said like guitars and sports. I'm like, exactly. All right, you're a human being with your things.
How good. I mean, I haven't played sort of like competitive sport for a long, long time. So I played rugby for like 10 years. I played American football for about 3 after that, but I had 3 successive concussions. So now I don't play team sports anymore.
Fair.
So I'm just like, nope, can't do that anymore. This is a bit boring.
How can you get a concussion? Your head is massive.
I think that's the
maybe thing. That's no, the point. It's just easy to hear.
It's just like take out the guy that looks like a bobblehead. yeah, it's funny. I think I went from like playing rugby and like nothing, and then American football, and suddenly you've got 2 pretty large individuals running, like sprinting at each other, and suddenly that's where all the drama ensues. So. Yeah, so now I don't tend to go to the gym anymore. Like I was going to the gym quite a lot on the way to my wedding last year, and actually slipped a disc in my back doing squats. Yeah, it wasn't like something easy, like slipping either side or maybe at the back. It went inwards towards my spinal cord.
Ouch!
And I couldn't. Yeah, I really struggled to walk, and my wedding and honeymoon were suddenly on the rocks. And I was just like, I need to go and pay for physio 3 times a week now. So. This is good. My wife was displeased, to say the least. Needless to say, we still went on our wedding, still had our honeymoon, so that was all great. But yeah, so now I started rock climbing this year, which is gross because I don't have any fucker else done
it. I was about to say that.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, because I was never interested in it before, but because I can't do team sports anymore, really. I think I really like the mental aspect of it. So every route is a puzzle and you've got to work it out. And it's also like obliterating your body at the same time. And like, I'm quite like a big guy anyway. So somebody with my sort of frame trying to climb up this wall and there's loads of spindly people up there. Like,
well, I'm Maxine.
Some of these people, they are ripped. Absolutely ripped.
Did you
ripped.
See Maxine's most recent like body shit? Oh my god. I mean, she's also 17,000 feet, so she's not tiny, but oh my god,
jacked. Absolutely jacked. And I think I'm starting to really enjoy it. And I think when I first started, I got sweating like a pig and I couldn't get anything, and I was like, this is so hard, why is it so shit? But yeah, it's nice. I think that's probably my other thing at the moment, I suppose. But I just don't want to get wrapped up in the Warhammer community climb society thing that's going on. Now that I've said it, I'm done doing it myself. But
Katie, Maxine are already trying to get me into it. They've invited me climbing, and we live like half an hour away from each other, so it's probably going to happen. But
there it is, mate. You're doomed. Yeah. You're doomed.
Okay. Kieran, you said you're boring. He's like, what do I even say now?
I remember when I sent him a text, I was like, I've done the thing. And he was like, oh, you haven't. I was like, I went climbing. He was like, why?
Well, if we all start it, then eventually we'll have to, like, Kieran will come with us, because he kind of has to.
Because he has to conform.
YouTube trends.
No, I'm sure I can find, like, a KFC or something near to where the climbing wall is.
Just sat at the bottom, just eating chicken. Yeah, you go up there. I'll be up in a minute.
Yeah, just need some oily fuel. No, I mean, I think outside of Warhammer, I'm the typical, like, you know, play video games, which I find as I'm getting older really hard to play because I work in IT, so I have to sit in front of a screen all day. We now do a YouTube channel where I have to sit in front of a screen for hours, trying to find that motivation to go and sit in front of another screen for hours is really hard. Like, so the thing that the channel has killed for me is World of Warcraft. So before we started the channel, I got hardcore, like, back into World of Warcraft. I hadn't since I was like 15, and then we started this. I was like, oh, I don't have the time anymore.
That's so is that not for the best? I mean, World of Warcraft is very bad addiction.
I wasn't addicted yet. I think I was probably getting there.
Yeah.
That's what every addict says.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wasn't addicted.
I can quit
any time. Bleeding.
I just have to pay £10 a month and I can play with my dwarf.
You could do that now with Warhammer. I mean, it's not £10 a month. They're a lot more expensive than that.
Yeah,
no, it's like £100 a month, isn't it? I think. No, I think outside of that, I think I have a very sedentary job, so I do try and do the gym. I don't do climbing, as you probably mentioned. So I do. I go to the gym. I try to go to the gym 2 or 3 times a week. Walk the dog. And TV, that's it. I don't think you can call TV another outside interest, though.
I feel like we're very... Are we the same person? Is this...
There is something that makes me cool. I forgot I played the drums.
That's cool, yeah. How did you figure that?
Yeah,
because I haven't practiced for like a week or so, but no, I've...
For like 3 years.
Yeah, ever since I learned guitar when I was a kid. I said learn. I had lessons. I wasn't any good. I was always a drummer though. Like in my mind, that was like when I was fantasizing about like my favorite bands when I was a teenager. It was always the drummers. I was like, oh, who's the drummer in this band? And then about a year or two ago, I was like, no, I'm gonna scratch that child. I'll go and play the I'll have a drum lesson. And I went and had one, and the guy was like, have you ever played the drums before? And I was like, no. And he's like, are you sure? I was like, no. And he's like,
nice.
Because it seems to come naturally to you. I was like, oh, okay. I'm not, you know, I do actually have rhythm. And that was about a year and a half ago. And that's my only other... I think it's really good to have another creative outlet.
Yeah.
Because obviously Warhammer's all creative as well. But when you've got something else that's creative, I think they can benefit each other. And also with drums, there's a physical element to it as well. And a noise element for everyone else that I live with.
Okay, that was sort of my last main question. I have one last question for you. And if you've listened to any to the end, you will know what this question is. Otherwise, you won't.
Yes.
If you could pick one person in the community and they were the only person you could play Warhammer with for the rest of time, who would it be? And you can't say each other.
Oh shit!
Damn it!
No.
I'm gonna chicken out, and Kieran, you can go first.
I was about to say the same thing. To only play with forever.
Forever, yeah, the only person.
I'd probably say Duncan.
Okay.
Touch back to the creation, like he's the only one that's out there. Like I don't think we've seen the real Duncan. I want to play Duncan, and I want to get the real Duncan. He's very.
What if you find out that he's like really terrible to be around? Then you can only play him for the rest of the time. You basically just have to give up the hobby.
Oh, that's true. Maybe I wouldn't pick. Maybe I wouldn't pick Duncan.
Maybe he's like a vampire. Maybe he's like a totally different person when he's not on the screen. You don't know who this man is. You're just throwing away your life. I'm sorry, Lord Duncan, if you're listening to this. I actually really, really admire you.
He's not listening to this, let's be honest. I'm quite aware of what my catchment area is, and Duncan's not within that. Not yet, anyway.
No, he's like the overlord of all of us. It's just watching his
peons. He's the algorithm that we think
of. Yeah, he is the face of the algorithm.
I don't know who I could pick to play forever. Come back to me. I'd imagine other Kieran's thought of something in that time I've been rambling about Duncan. here's the bus. You are now under it.
You two are just wrestling to see who's going to get hit first.
Like, that sounds like us when we're planning YouTube content anyway, so yeah, sure. That's a brutal question. I mean, obviously it would be Kieran, but if it can't be, I'm trying to think back over like the last couple of years, like the most fun I've had was probably against DC from SN. So we recorded a little game for their channel, and I jumped off the plane and it was like 36 degrees of heat. It was just your hell for like 6-7 hours, but yeah, he's truthfully like one of my favorite people in the hobby, and yeah, but it'd probably be him. He's a really, really nice guy. I like him a lot.
Nice. Kieran's like, damn it, that was too quick.
You picked one too quick. I'm just racking my brain of like, who do I follow on Instagram? Who do I talk to on Instagram? I don't know. I think I'd either have to pick
Henry Cavill.
Oh, Henry Cavill's a great pick. Yeah.
No, because then my partner would leave me. Oh, you've got access to Henry Cavill. Bye.
Yeah, but he's only ever going to play you for the rest of the time, so she's going to see you all the time. So.
Well, that just sounds like the makings of like a bad sitcom or something.
Yeah,
like
it really does. God, can you imagine that? Oh.
My wife loves my friend Henry Cavill.
Does it have to be a real person?
No.
What does that even mean? Where are you going?
Let's follow this thread. No, it doesn't have to be a real person.
I would love to play Chandler from Friends at Warhammer for the rest of my life, because he is my sense of humor. So like, I think us two, if he was a real person, if we could play and have like Warhammer humor together, I think I'd never stop playing. Can I be any more rolling dice?
This is such a bizarre answer.
That is probably one of the more obscure answers that I've got to that one, but yeah, let's follow it.
I'll be honest, as soon as you went, can it be somebody that doesn't exist, I was like, what are you?
I thought we were going down like some anime route or something. Not Friends. Friends was not, I would not have guessed Friends enough.
Well, well, could you imagine playing like Warhammer with Goku? Which is horrific.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I needed to keep it to like someone that's semi real. Or could you ever play Warhammer with like Sheldon Cooper? It'd just be the worst time of your life, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would.
No thanks.
Yeah, no. I would definitely give up the hobby if that was it. That would kill it.
I think just like 2 minutes talking to him, I think would kill any passion for anything I've ever had. Oh, you enjoy KFC? I'm going to tell you why KFC and how it's made. Okay, I don't like KFC anymore.
That's how I imagine my next
Okay, that was my last question. I really appreciate all the sort of time and thank you for all the great answers and the fun. I've had a really great time, and hopefully you have too. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for letting us on. This has been the first time we've been invited to something, so this has been lush.
Well, I got...
No. You get invited to things. You've been on, like, SM Battle Reports. I've had interactions.
You son of a bitch. I said we.
Just really makes me. I think we touched on this at the start, but like, I'm pretty sure everyone thinks that other Kieran is the Kieran show, and that I just turn up and I'm just like his mate that just shows up.
Yeah, that's completely what it is, right?
Stop it, Ben! No, make it worse.
Another one that makes me laugh. So like, we'll like meet up like a week after a video's come out, and you're like, oh, I got all these great comments from like people that have WhatsApped me about our latest video. I'm like, oh, I didn't get any.
No notifications on your phone.
I'm just like, the only barometer I have is like the like count on YouTube. No one's ever said, oh, you did this really well. Whereas Kieran's like, oh yeah, this person really liked this. This person. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, noted. I will set. I'm not going to put anything on the Kieran show Instagram anymore. I'll just send it straight to you, Kieran, and you'll be my port of call for anything Kieran show related.
Oh, I've opened the gate there, haven't I?
Yeah,
you certainly have. The emotions just kept rolling out there.
this has been great therapy. I'll send you my bill for the session.
This is like No, this is our couples counselling, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll see you this time next week.
Oh dear. But yeah, no, thanks so much, man. It's been a riot. It's been really real fun.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It's been a lot of fun to talk. And then knowing that we don't have to edit it at the end.
Yeah, now I have to go in and edit it. Yeah. Well, obviously, if anybody wants to find you, you've both got Instagrams. So let's start with you, Kim. Your Brush Owl Miniatures on Instagram.
Oh, it's the stupidest Instagram name ever. I want to change it. But yeah, I'm Brush Owl Miniatures. I might change it one day because I get fed up of typing it out like in YouTube flashcards with too many characters.
That's what Control C is for, right? Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
And then other Kieran, your 40k.w, 40 spelled F-O-R-T-Y, which was a great steal. It was
with initials of K-W. I was like, I'm gonna pinch this.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah,
we nearly ended up, so when I went down in a rabbit hole, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna change my Instagram, and I was like, could I go with 40k.p? Could I just absolutely lean in there? And it felt like such a bad move. I'd still do it.
Yeah,
I never did.
Just go and steal all his followers. It's fine. It's no problem. Let's be honest. You started yours first. Yeah, you deleted it, but you started yours first.
They're mine. They're mine.
They're rightfully yours. You should swap Instagram accounts. Just give each other your passwords, and that'll be that.
You sound like the people that message me on a Saturday morning.
And then, yeah, The Kieran Show, you've got your Instagram on that one, so The Kieran Show with points in between, and obviously The Kieran Show on YouTube. Anywhere else? Wherever else? What's the most?
Well, we are both on the cesspool that is Twitter, but I don't think anybody's really using that anymore.
You're on X, are you?
X.
Oh, X, sorry, yeah.
Or with Big Puppy Elon.
Yeah.
I don't think X is that bad. I think so long as you just ignore the comments and just post whenever you want to post, I think it's pretty good. So, yeah, I rate it.
If you just ignore everything it's supposed to be about.
To be fair, at the moment, it's just avoiding Ahsoka spoilers. That's all I'm worried about. So it's just like, quickly post, get off, and then run away.
Okay, I think that's all the social stuff on that. So everyone absolutely go check you guys out. I'd be amazed if most of the people that follow me don't follow you guys already. Yeah, I love your stuff, so everyone else will as well, I'm sure.
Bless you, mate. That's really, really nice of you. Thanks again for having us on.
No problem.
Thanks so much.
And
thanks, dude.
Yeah, I hope everyone else has enjoyed it. So if you've enjoyed it, please do the standard stuff. Subscribe, leave a review, blah, 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 blah. And if you want to get in touch, more than welcome to. Just get me on Instagram at FirstRank5Podcast. Same at Threads as well, because I do Threads of the next.
Oh, you're cool.
Yeah, apparently. Thank you so much for joining us again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Cool.
See ya. See you later.